When you talk about the economy, of course, it is by far the most important issue for voters. It's also true right now, Mr. President, that voters by a wide margin trust Trump more on the economy. They say that in polls. And part of the reason for that may be the numbers. And you're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned it around. Look, look at the Michigan survey. For 65% of American people think they're in good shape economically. They think the nation's not in good shape, but they're personally in good shape. The polling data has been wrong all along. The idea that we're in a situation where things are so bad, the folks that, I mean, we've created more jobs.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your Patriot professor. And Biden has just gotten some terrible, terrible news. His Bidenomics have been an abject disaster, right? GDP growth fell to just 1.6%. in the first quarter of this year, down from 3.4% in the fourth quarter of last year and 4.9% in the third quarter. At the same time, inflation has risen to its highest levels in more than two decades. Even the pundits over at CNN are admitting that more and more Americans are feeling the pinch thanks to Biden's reckless spending and ridiculous regulatory actions.
When I started this administration, people were saying there's going to be a collapse of the economy. We have the strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again, in the world.
Although GDP last week was far short of expectations.
Oh, it wasn't. Look, GDP is still growing. Look at the response of the markets. Overwhelmingly positive. Overwhelmingly positive. And one of the reasons why people feel good about it not being as strong as it was before is they believe that the Fed's going to respond.
They hope they're going to get a rate cut.
Yeah. Well, so, but I mean,
so that raises the question, what can you do to combat these economic issues until we get Trump back into office, right? Well, the answer is simple. We come together and we build the parallel economy. More and more patriots are taking this opportunity to go out and create businesses, creating their own jobs and jobs for others. We want to see America succeed. We want to see fellow patriots financially flourish and supporting the causes that matter, leaving a legacy for our families, and making real changes that benefit the peoples of this country. My guest today is doing just that. Alex Alboron has helped thousands of patriots just like you grow their business to the point that they can live like no one else. Just use the link below to book a call with Alex and potentially add, I'm not kidding, millions in revenue like his other students have done. He's the real deal, gang. This is no joke. Alex, thanks for being here. Always great to see you, man.
You too, Dr. Turley. There's nobody in my life that has better vernacular than Dr. Steve Turley. I just love the way you're so eloquent, and I always love talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, right back at you, Alex. It's a joy. And I mean, I've enjoyed our time personally together at Trump's international golf course or at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, you're the real deal, man. It's just, you're awesome. I want to get your thoughts on just how far this Bidenomics disaster is going to go based on your assessment, you know, before we see some change. So, I mean, big picture, what's your take on, obviously, we're seeing the growth slowing dramatically. First quarter is down to just basically 1%. What's your take on that? What should we be paying attention to or concerned about most?
Well, I think the main thing is that ever since 2020, back then, people did get a kind of a surplus of kind of cash flow, disposable income, extra money in the bank to spend on Christmas, on gas, on essentials, or like vacations, things that they wanted to do. But that's almost 4 or 5 years ago, right? And yeah. So now at this point, that money is dried up. But in that four-year time frame, look at the cost of housing, rent, you know, utilities, gas, the essentials. And so you have to look at inflation is still super high. The Fed would love to cut rates if the data supported it somewhat, but they still haven't. So to buy a house, it's like 8% for a mortgage. which is incredibly high. And so you have to look at things practically and say the economy is slowing down because people just don't have money to spend on disposable items like even gifts or vacations. The money's not there, and the gap is widening between, you know, the haves and the have-nots like never before.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that only adds to more social instability and the like. What I find interesting, though, is that entrepreneurs like yourself actually see these times as incredibly opportune times. This is actually a good time to start a venture if you've ever wanted to. Why? Why do you think that? So my initial gut reaction is to build my bunker and hide. Your like initial most people, reaction is to go out and build. Mm-hmm. Why? What makes this a good time to get into the venture of starting a business despite the slow growing economy?
Well, I think it's like anything in life. The best time to buy real estate was yesterday. And the next best time was the day before that. And it keeps going. The next best time to lose weight or get in shape was yesterday or 10 years ago. You can see how the trend goes. So ideally, if you want to start a business, you already started laying the foundation years ago. But most of the time, people, they get kind of stuck in the comfort of their lifestyle, the comfort of their job. You know, they get by and they're kind of, like you're saying, fight or flight. Most people, they just kind of lay back and they don't want to take that leap of faith. But the reality is, like I just said earlier, the have-nots and the haves, the gap is getting wider and wider. So practically, what used to work isn't going to work heading into the next 20 or 30 years. And so there's never been a better time to start a business because you can do so for so little capital. I have people that reach out to me who may not be able to work with me, but I'm like, hey, you can watch my YouTube videos. You can watch many other people out there get free advice and just go and start it for $1,000, $500, right? There's never been a better time because the access, the barrier to entry is essentially minimal. It's nil. Whereas back in the day, you'd have to get a lease on a location. You'd have to buy all the products. You'd have to hire all these people and maybe it'll work out. And so there's never been a better time because of the online opportunity, which has never been there before.
And it's so interesting too, because it's during these economic downturns that self-reliance becomes such an important quality and such an important virtue. Starting your own business when all said and done helps you be less reliant on the government and on these institutions that are usually destroying our economy. There's a little autobiography there for you. How have you seen that play out in your own business or in the businesses of people that you've mentored, where starting business meant it meant contributing to your own self-reliance and hence less reliance on government?
Mm-hmm. Well, people that are watching, they may know my story. If they don't, they knew that growing up, I mean, I grew up on, you know, food stamps, and I didn't have a lot of idea about money. I didn't know about how business worked or how to really grow anything because my family just didn't have any money. And so I came from that background. But then as time went on, I saw the opportunities. I saw how to grow a business. And I mean, like Dr. Turley mentioned, I'm blessed with the business I have now and the opportunities that's provided me and my family. But I think most people, they need to understand that if they're successful, it's their fault. If they aren't successful financially, it's their fault, which is a very, you know, tough pill to swallow at times. But the government's not coming to save us. They're not coming to save you or I, Dr. Turley. Even a lot of people in our faith, they say, God will provide no matter what. I tithe, I go to church, God will provide. And I tell them, God will provide you skills and opportunities and people to connect with that are going to then give you the growth potential that you want, but he's not just going to send you a check every month, right? It's again, we're probably going to get comments like, that's crazy, unsubscribe. But the reality is, hey, people, they ask me for straightforward advice.
Right.
And if you're successful financially or in your business, obviously there is luck, there's faith involved, but you have to take consistent action. People look at what I'm doing now and they love to see the end result. But this is starting this May. This is my 8th year in business to the month. Right. And so it's kind of attractive to look at the end progress of, whoa, he has this car, he's doing this and that, like Mar-a-Lago. It brings people in, but then I give them the reality of, hey, you want to start building something now so that maybe 5 years from now you can be in a similar position for whatever your goals are.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so interesting because our Protestant work ethic comes from exactly the theology you just pointed out, the irony is it was recognized that God provides for those who glorify him in their endeavors. So using the gifts and the skills that God has blessed us with to their highest degree is precisely the way I glorify God as he provides in the process. So it's not like I'm not just passive waiting for him to do something. I'm exercising the gifts he provided for me so that I can bless others and shine forth the majesty of those gifts in all of my endeavors. So it's actually gave birth to a very strong, vibrant work ethic, without which, ironically, I mean, you know, again, not all cultures have. I mean, not all cultures are known for their working 14, 15 hours a day and the like. Of course, keeping a Sabbath, of course, but, mm-hmm. you know, something akin to the Protestant work ethic is not universal, and it's something we've been gifted and entrusted with. And I think it's really in our DNA, even as we've become, you know, you've seen this, I'm sure, Alex, you know, we've had, even in our secularized society, we go to the airport, like in crazy ungodly hours in the morning. And what do we see? They're packed. People are in their suits and ties going from flight to flight. They're working hard. That didn't just appear. That has a theology rooted in it. Now we've secularized it, but that theology is one of adventure. It's traveling across the Atlantic, starting a new Jerusalem, building from scratch. I think in many ways, we've just had it so easy over the last few years.
And people lost their purpose. I mean, if you have a business that you believe in, that you want to grow, there's no better purpose than that in terms of your career. And having that, that's what gets you working instead of like 6 or 7 hours, kind of, let me take breaks. That gets you working 15, 16 hours and it doesn't feel like work. And that is really a true blessing, because I forget the exact phrase, but when you have that much in your life, you have family, you have health, you have your business, you're grinding. Distractions don't have time to get in there. The devil can't knock on your door. You're too busy. Right? But I think when people are not busy, they don't have a purpose. That's when naturally those things and the devil start to unfortunately get in people's lives.
That's neat. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it's good to hit the pillow each night exhausted.
Exactly.
that's a good thing. That's a very, very good thing. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Why aren't more people taking this route of financial freedom, time freedom, this sense of self-reliance?
I think the way most people look at money is completely wrong, because the reality is most people, like myself, growing up, I didn't have anybody in my family that knew about money. So I'm listening to people that don't have money talk about what to do with money or how to make it. It's not practical. It's not logical. And so I think most people think of the Dave Ramsey advice, like, oh, just save your money, pay off all your debt, and everything is going to work out. And that's, right. I think there's levels to financial freedom. That's fine if someone is financially, they're in credit card debt, they're paying 30% interest. Mm-hmm. You should use that advice to get financially stable. But if you want financial freedom, what got you to this point is not really going to work. You have to have a different skill set, a different mindset, and you have to focus on growth, because your expenses are not going to magically go down. Going back to what we said earlier, like the government isn't just going to say gas is 50 cents, not $5 a gallon. Like it's only going to keep going up and to the right. You know, your daughter's wedding, your granddaughter's wedding, it's going to keep costing more, right? If you want to pay for that. So I think people need to think about money differently and think it is great to want to become wealthy, because wealth is a resource that you can help other people with, help your family with, you can tithe with. I think sometimes people think, oh, look at those greedy millionaires. You know, even if they don't say it, subconsciously, they're like, well, I'm not a millionaire because I'm a good person. But it's like, you could be a good person and have money. There's nothing wrong with having both, right? Or they're like, oh, but I'm a family person. It's like, you can have a great family and a great business. So I think people need to, before they take any action, they need to change the way they think about money and think, what I'm doing right now, I'm comfortable, I'm safe, but the goals that I have are extraordinary. So I have to take extraordinary action, right? You can't have the same exact work ethic, the same exact path as everybody else, but expect to have a different result than everyone else, because that gap, the middle class, 80% of people, you know, that's slowly dying and it's slowly going to become the have nots. And so I think people, you know, aside if they have a business or they want to start a business or they want to scale something, they have to think about, how do I really look at money? What stage of my finances am I at? Because if you're financially desperate, you're probably not in the state to really grow a business, because you just need to get to kind of square one, right? Mm-hmm. Pay off your debt, get comfortable financially. Once you're comfortable, get rid of that comfort and start growing, you know, invest in your business and scale, because costs are not going to go down and you only live on this earth once. And so you want to just say, hey, if I have dreams, let's make them reality. Don't have lottery dreams, I call them. Don't think one day when the time is right, I'm going to start that business, Dr. Turley. I'm going to do it. But then this happens. Oh, I need a new couch.
No,
I need to do the windows in my house. I have this and that. And they look back and they have so much regret. And it's like, God put us on this earth to make it happen. Even if it's not today, if you're not financially stable right now, in a year, maybe it's a good fit, maybe 5 years, but look at where you're at in your finances and how you think about money and think, hey, if I'm financially stable, what is logically stopping me besides my own limiting beliefs to really grow my business?
It's so interesting because I heard somebody put it like, you know, we make money ultimately to be able to build a world that we can't buy. So in other words, you know, why does Elon Musk send rockets into space? Because he can't buy a first class ticket to Mars.
Right.
So he uses his money to build the world he imagines. I mean, you know, 70 years ago, the richest man on the planet still couldn't buy an iPhone. It didn't exist, you know. So you use the money that you acquire to build the world that you're dreaming of. And that's what I think you're doing very much so, especially on online businesses, where, again, you just don't, like you said, you don't need a lot of money to start. How did you put it? Like the entry fee is so minimal.
Everybody has access. If you're watching this video, you have a digital device. You have a phone, you have a laptop, you have a tablet. You probably have everything. You have smart TVs. You know, you're spending thousands on that, but you can't invest $500 into your business. Right. You know, and so a lot of people, they just really need to get clear on their goals and see, what am I doing every single day, 6 days a week, to get at least 1% closer, 0.5% closer? Yeah. I always, with my business, even when I was making nothing, I would look at pictures of Rolls Royces or just whatever goal I had in my mind. And I was like, hey, even if it's not going to happen tomorrow, I need to make logical progress. I can't just think it's going to happen and it's going to magically be provided to me. Again, God provided me with great work ethic, you know, a good upbringing in the sense of I have hunger to grow my business and help other people, but I need to use that and make logical, practical progress. And that's what I help my clients do as well.
So that's exactly where I want to go. So when someone clicks on the link below, books a call to work with you, what can they expect as like the next step after the call?
Mm-hmm. Well, I talk to every single person one-on-one because I love Dr. Turley, like I said, and I love people that are patriots that come through Dr. Turley. So I want to spend time with you. But at the same time, I also tell people, you know, very straightforward, if they're not in that financial position to really grow their business, I let them know. I give them resources and kind of some free coaching, but I let them know, hey, maybe in 6 months, maybe in 12 months. But if you're at the point where you're like, hey, I either want to start a business or scale my existing business to the next level, that's really who I work with. I don't really work with the person that's like, oh, I would love to make an extra, you know, $500 a month. I'll be like, hey, you might as well like just go get a job. Realistically, like to start a business, you know, it's stress, it's energy, it's money, it's time. It's a worthwhile endeavor, though, if your goals are big enough. And like I said, that's why I tell people before they even want to work with me, think about your goals and think about, okay, if I'm going to work with someone like Alex one-on-one, my goals need to be big enough to get to that level to make it worthwhile. But again, I talk to everybody one-on-one. If they're a great fit, I let them know. If they're not a great fit at the moment, I give them a lot of free information and free coaching. And this is for anybody, if you're starting a business, you have a concept, you're ready to take it to the next level and ready to take action. That's who I love working with.
Yeah, and our audience loves working with you, Alex. Seriously, gang, you can protect yourself from the slacking economy and Biden's war on American finances by being a courageous patriot in business. Seriously, there's never been a better opportunity. Don't let fear of what Biden might do to America keep you from building the business and legacy that your family deserves. Check out Alex's business growth mentorship just by clicking on the link below. You're not going to be disappointed. He is absolutely one of us, and he's amazing. So, Alex, thanks for helping bring some sanity in the midst of all of this economic insanity. And thanks just for your inspiration and for making us a better versions of ourselves as we try to glorify God and everything and building the parallel economy. You're on the front lines of that. We can't thank you enough for it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Turley. I appreciate it.